And here we are at 8 minutes past seven on a Friday morning, and the doctor is in the house. Bruce Thompson, Dr. Bruce Thompson, is a well-established figure on 88 FM on a Friday morning. Excuse me, I need a doctor. Look at that. You walk in, I start to have all the symptoms of a dying man.
What a shame.
No, not at all. Lovely to have you in the studio. It's been a cold and a particularly cold start for you. I believe you jumped in your swimming pool in the highway area, which is now, you had to break the
you
ice
have
first.
To tell everybody that.
I must.
Dave, honestly.
I must explain your state of mind.
That's why my hair's looking so dodgy this morning. Yeah.
I thought it was looking good, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Very sleek.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, no, it's a good start to the day getting in the pool.
I believe
that's pretty chilly right now.
Yeah. And clearly there is merit to this, as there is in all sorts of modalities.
Yeah, well, I needed to wake up this morning after reading a bit of the news. It was a little bit shocking.
The news of there's so much. I mean,
no, it's too much going on.
Every 24 hours there is
how do you keep up?
Revelations.
Keep up? I mean, no wonder people just run away and go and live in a caravan. I don't blame them.
Well, you see, there is that. If you don't, you need to understand. I think that there are certain things that you can control, certain things that you can't control, and your response to those, I think, determines your state of mind, your well-being in that regard.
Yeah, so often it just makes you think. You've got to look at the people around you, hold on to them, love them, pay attention to what's happening in your immediate space, because, you know, the modern tendency is to try and be far too focused on everything that's happening in the world, and there's just too much.
Yeah.
There's just too much.
And there's absolutely nooks that you can do.
Well, you feel very small, don't you?
How are we going to affect Israel now attacking Iran? No matter what you or I say today, it's not going to change a thing there.
Yeah,
so you know, we can get all depressed and upset.
Well, wish for the best and act in your local space and do what you can.
Yeah,
to connect people and get us to realize that we are the same. We're all connected. And we need each other.
Isn't that so? You know, I read recently of, and I don't know, I have no means of verifying this thing, but I have seen it three times from three different sources, and they're reporting on, which may be the biggest hoax in the world, and there may be something to it. Apparently, Russian scientists have been for an age trying to map and analyze what happens to the human spirit or soul, or call it what you will, when the body dies, because there is a lot of evidence to suggest that the essence of the soul or the spirit continues. You know, in our religious practice, we believe in
we all certainly hope for that.
Yes,
we?
yeah, but there's never been any empirical evidence to suggest that there is an afterlife. Well, apparently, this may well have changed recently, with them tracking the exit of the life force from the first volunteer that has passed on recently.
I haven't, but I'd love you to share that.
Well,
so I could have a look. Yeah.
Well, at first, the computer tracking was thrilling because there was definitely activity. The activity was moving and accelerating as the spirit or soul or whatever you want to call it departed, and then disappeared off the computers. And they thought, well, that's there it is.
There are so many descriptions of this throughout history.
But
you know, this is the
after a while it came back.
No, goodness me.
And they tracked this. This is the peculiar part, if one can believe it. They tracked the energy to a galaxy that is in the outer Andromeda.
Goodness me, how
light,
did they do that?
So many light years away. And this is, it's absolutely, firstly, you know, to be, well, you know, one can take it or leave it. But I suggest that you do the research, have a look, find it. And if that is what happens on in that, why there?
Well, there's lots of descriptions of quantum entanglement of different organisms, mothers and children, and that sort of thing. You know, children experiencing or mothers experiencing physiological effects when a child or a pup or a, you know, a chick is murdered or killed, the mother feels it. The experiences, there's an electromagnetic response in the mother, even though she may be kilometers away, hundreds of kilometers away, nowhere near being able to experience that physically, right?
Wow.
But you know, there are these entanglements, and it is, you know, it is starting to talk about the electromagnetic space, I think, where which is where homeopathy and acupuncture and a lot of these holistic medicines operate, in the electromagnetic space of the body. So anyway, you are fantastic at distracting.
distracting you. All right, let's get back on track.
Yes, back on track. From the sublime to the ridiculous. So yeah, I just wanted to speak a little bit about obstacles to cure, which is a really important element of homeopathic practice and of homeopathic thinking that a practitioner will always have in mind when he's looking at a patient for the first time. And subsequently, so obviously the first consultation, there's a lot of conversation, there's a lot of exploration of the timeline of the patient's, this kind of space that they live in, the way they operate, the kind of work they do, their social environment, because this all potentially informs our understanding of what the patient needs, right? So it's not about, you know, listening for, you know, what is the pathological or the pathophysiological process going on here, and what medication do we have to give. We're looking at the state of the patient and the environment in which they live, and always looking for these obstacles to cure. So the obstacles to cure are things that are going to feed their disease, feed the pathology, and prevent them, whatever you do, prevent it working fully. So you may treat, and this often comes up later in treatment, where you're giving the best choice of medicine that you can think of, and yet it's not giving you the full result. They're relapsing. They keep coming back to the same place. And if you haven't done your job properly in the beginning, then you have to do it later. And that's figuring out what is preventing the remedy, the well-chosen medicine working. And these obstacles to cure can be all sorts of things. It can obviously be genetic. It can be something that the patient is born with and is never going to really be able to overcome. But most often, 99% of the time and more, it's something that they're doing. It's something that they're eating. It's the way that they're eating. It's the way that they're breathing. It can be a myriad of things, but you got to figure it out. Because if you don't figure it out, they're not going to get better.
Mm-hmm. Do you take it personally if someone doesn't get better?
Absolutely.
Do you?
Exactly. We all homeopaths take it hard when our patients aren't cured, yeah?
Really?
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. You don't like to accept defeat.
It's interesting to hear, because you must see a lot of people. And being human, there are certain people that one is... is prepossessed to kind of find not particularly
it's
pleasant.
It's a reality. You can't fix everyone.
Yeah.
The sooner you get to accept that as a practitioner, the quicker you'll be happy. But it is the problem is when it's a simple thing that they could do. That they won't do.
See, I'm very interested in that psychology, because who was the doctor? Robin Williams played him in a movie. He used to wear a clown red nose, and he brought joy to patients. Mm. And
great movie. I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, this is the thing. We're in an age. Yeah. But so many doctors have really, really, really unfortunate bedside manner, shall we say. They just don't like people, clearly. And I can't blame them. I mean, I don't like people.
It's the difficulty, or maybe it's the result of getting lost in the data, getting lost in the hardcore medicine, you know, and you forget that this is a human being sitting in front of you.
Well, there it is. And I think often if you ever find yourself in a medical facility in that situation. There have been movies about this as well, which I've thought found interesting, where a doctor becomes ill and is a patient and has this epiphany. It's all about humility. Suddenly, you are no longer the person that people defer to with your knowledge. Yeah. You become this piece of meat. Happened to me the other day. I went for an X-ray, and I had to be pushed there in a wheelchair. And I thought, no, you must be. And then all these other patients were put it was just really sad. And you could see some of these were elderly folk that had been at some stage, no doubt, very, very, prominent members of the society, but had been now reduced to this rather unpleasant thing in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just so awful. Is there homeopathy is kinder, isn't it?
Well, we try. Yeah, I mean, in general,
don't do X-rays to
start with. It is a gentler practice, and it really does strike me as phenomenal when I look at, especially our homeopathic association, so our professional body who looks after us rather than looks after the public. So the HSA, all women. Pretty much all women, and really some of the best homeopaths in South Africa are women, and it's beautiful to see. And then looking at the students coming out of tech at the moment, there's a lot of women, and it's I think it's wonderful. And women just they seem to do homeopathy fantastically.
I tend to think that if women were in control of more. Political.
Careful.
No, but I'm talking seriously. One says that men, no, really. I think women have one or two exceptions, but generally speaking, a kind of more sensitive approach to nurturing.
A lot more wisdom.
Gentler approach. Mm. Maybe. I mean, not all, obviously. Yeah. So there it is.
Okay.
Except that, mind you, there's some in the South African cabinet that I think definitely that doesn't apply. Okay. So let's move on. I cancel that premise. Forget about it. That was rubbish.
Wonderful. Okay, thanks, Dave. Thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Are we out of here now?
Well, I think we're done. Obstacles to cure.
That's been fascinating. So if you would like a one-on-one with Dr. Bruce Thompson, Who cares? This is the point. He cares. You can find him down at the Thrive Pharmacy in the Balvista Center in the Balito Village. Or conversely, there is a number I'm sure that you'll be able to refer to, if you can remember it.
083-7899-328. WhatsApp me on that number.
There you go. And this will be up as a podcast, so you don't have to write that down, because I couldn't hear it either. Mm. It was very fast. Throwaway line. Don't phone me on this number. Give it to us again.
083-7899-328.
You see, for those that are slower than the norm, not having jumped in the pool at 9 degrees.
Sharp as anything.
Yeah, but it's good to see you. You're practicing in Balito today and then back up the highway for the rest of the week, but you'll be back again regularly on Friday.
Every Friday. Thank you.
We look forward to reconnecting next Friday at about the same time on The Morning Show on Radio Life and Style.